Welcome back. Mike Haas and Charlie Long here on Fans in the Pro. I'm at Caesars Superdome, and Deuce McAllister is en route to Los Angeles, and Charlie is back in the studio, and we're talking Pelicans as well. The Pelicans get their first win as they beat Chicago at home, did so without Zion Williamson, and now they're going to do some time without DeJounte Murray. And Kurt Heelan joins us now. Kurt's the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBC Sports. And Kurt, man, opening night was hard enough. We get the news it's no Zion. Now he's going to be okay, but the Murray had surgery today. I think 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. That is not the debut that we had in mind.
No, especially for a Pelicans team that frankly deserves a break from the basketball gods. It had a few too many injuries in the last few years, and could use something to go their way. And it's a long season, and you can be fine through this. I think you saw that on opening night, but it's not ideal. Just with all the new faces, you just wanted time with everybody there to build some chemistry, and it just hasn't come together yet. Now it's not going to come together till December, basically.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, Kurt, but one of the best things actually from that opener, and I think you'd agree with me, the debut of Yves Missi. And, the rookie center out of Baylor, a lot of us were not really sure what to expect from him. We figured he would come off the bench, which he in fact did, but playing 23 minutes in his debut, only 2 fouls, which was a really nice surprise when you see what happened with Zach Edey in his opener in his NBA debut and how he fouled out in 15 minutes or whatever it was. But also all the production, he stuffed the stat sheet, and, the defensive prowess that you can see and the potential that you can see from Yves Missi was on full display against the Bulls.
Yeah, and he was he came into the league considered a project, right? He's got a lot of talent. There's a lot there, but he's kind of raw. He's gotten thrust just because of the numbers situation. He's been kind of thrust into a larger role, and he looked great in that first game. And if he and Daniel Theis can give you solid 35 minutes a game, and you can play a little bit of small ball with that, suddenly you're fine, or at least good enough until a center you might really want comes available on the trade market. But that's nothing serious is going to happen there for a little while. This point in the year, everybody's, the first couple of weeks, everybody's, I love our roster. Our roster is great. And reality sets in pretty quickly for some teams, and stuff will start to shift, again, closer to December. So if he can really, if he can continue that, if that wasn't a one-off and he can continue to grow and develop, that's do it fast, that's a huge plus for this team.
I was just curious, Kurt. So the Pels are out west. They're back to back with Portland tonight, and then two at Golden State. And when I ask this question, people think I'm being negative about Zion, and I'm not. I think that guy can do whatever he wants to do. He's one of those rare players that if he has the ball on the wing and he says, "I'm going to the bucket and I'm going to score," there's very few that can stop him. And there's a handful of people that you could put on that list. But I think as we've seen through the early years that he does, and he gets pounded. He just gets pounded. Yeah. Sometimes it's a foul. Sometimes it's not called. And so I ask this question, and does he need to develop some shot of his own, 13-footer, a 10-footer, a drive popping shot, something that can – where he can kind of take some of the pressure off having to drive so much, only because he gets pounded. I think he could be awesome, but he just gets pounded.
Look, the best players develop counters and develop, a range of ways to shoot. And for some guys, the Kevin Durants of the world, that comes naturally and easy. But to use an easy example, LeBron, and you let him shoot long, from three or longer shots early in his career. Go ahead, take those. Now you really can't do that anymore. He's a legitimate shooter. I think it would be helpful for Zion to have more counters. The more counters, the more ways you can score, the better. It just opens everything up. So I think it would be a huge addition for him to not only develop it, but gain confidence in that kind of shot. But like you said, what you can't do, and Blake Griffin did this over the course of his career, but remember, Blake early in his career dunked everything and had to develop that shot, and it took a little bit of time, but by the end, he'd kind of developed a range of shots. It would be great to see Zion follow more of that arc, because he's going to have to. at some point, your physical skills diminish a little, even his.
Yeah, 100%, Kurt. And looking at the Pelicans' schedule now, back-to-back games at Portland before back-to-back games against Golden State. First, we'll dive into Portland real quick. I just want to get your thoughts on them. I mean, this is a team that was picking in the lottery for a reason last year, 21-61, finished at the bottom of the Western Conference. You know, they have some good young pieces. They made the move for Denny Avia as well, who, you know, Pelican fans will remember they played a game against Washington last year, Kurt, where Denny Avia just lit them up. He had like a career game. But outside of that, like Scoot Henderson, and, you know, they drafted Donovan Klingon to go with DeAndre Ayton. So they have a nice kind of pair in the front court. They have some good young pieces, but they haven't necessarily just gelled early on. And I mean, this is a good time for the Pelicans, I think, to be facing this young team before they can gel and kind of get them early on.
Yeah, exactly. Look, they're chasing the Cooper flag this year, right? They're playing capture the flag, and they're not going to be good this year. They're going to play those young guys a lot and see how they develop. And they do. Shaden Sharp, Anthony Simon, like, they've got really good athletic young players, and it just doesn't all quite fit together yet. And Klingon too. They're just going to develop these guys over time. Scoot, and I was so high on Scoot Henderson coming out. I'd seen him in the G League, and talk about a guy whose game has not translated and hasn't developed the other things he needs to go with his game. I think this is a big year for him. The next year or 2 years, really, he's going to have to, because he hasn't lived up to the number two billing yet. And I'm not writing a 20-year-old off. Like, you know, like,
right.
There's plenty of time. But I think that there's a lot of that going on. Well, they try to see what they can get. And, for you know, look, they're chasing the top of this draft, and that's not, by the way, just Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Like, this is a deep draft, five deep, with really good players who could be future all-stars, if not franchise cornerstone players. And they're not the only team thinking that far ahead, but you're right, this is the time to catch them, because they're not good. They're just not.
Right.
I watched part of their opener, and this is the time to catch them.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, for as underwhelming as last year's draft was, it definitely seems like this one's going to be awesome. So, but we'll get to that months down the line, Kurt. I wanted to ask you about, you know, that opener that Portland had against Golden State, who the Pelicans are going to be playing up next. Yeah. I think it had it on full display a couple things, that Portland's defense still isn't any good, giving up 140 points to Golden State. And so I think that's kind of a thing for Pelicans fans to keep an eye on tonight, is the Pelicans offense should be operating at a high level against a defense that's very vulnerable. But also, you know, kind of what you can see from Golden State, who the Pelicans will face after this two-game trip to Portland, and what you're kind of expecting from them in kind of, I guess, the era post-Klay Thompson.
I think they're going to still be figuring that out for the first part of the season. Steph Curry is Steph Curry, but is Jonathan Kuminga going to step into that secondary role as a scorer on offense? What, you know, their defense is still going to be good. Draymond is still a good defender. They've got athleticism on that side of the floor. They've got guys actually probably upgraded, frankly, on that end of the floor, because Klay Thompson isn't the same defender he once was. You can't leave him open. That's why he's going to help the Dallas offense so much, but he is not the same defender he once was. I think they actually got a little better this offseason, just with the players they brought in. Buddy Hield can still shoot. They brought in a little more defense. I think they're still a pretty good team, and that's a good challenge for the Pelicans, because you guys know this. After you get past Oklahoma City and Dallas, and I'm going to keep Denver in that list for top of the West for now, even though that was not the most impressive opener, and Oklahoma City looked great last night. The rest of the West, out down to Portland, is tight, and those are the games you've got to find a way to kind of maybe at least get a split in of those two. I think it's two, right? In Golden State,
both of them.
Yeah, those are the games that are really going to matter, because that is such a tight bunch. When you talk about all the teams in the middle, the Memphises and both Los Angeles teams and whatever, it's going to just be such a clump in the middle, and those games are. Even now, even this early in the season, those games will matter come at the end.
And it matter because, you know, this team last year, the Pelicans, were so good on the road. Better than they were at home. 28-14 on the road, 21-19, hard to believe, really, at home. But it feels like at 49-33 last year, you know, struggled a little bit down the stretch, lost five of their last 10, that we've been here before. Take injuries out of it. Does this team have the tools, and it feels like clearly they do, to take that next step, to not be that play-in, to not, you know, to not be fighting towards the bottom? It feels like they do.
I do. I think if everything, and this is where the injuries kind of sting a little bit, but I think they absolutely have the ability to be anywhere from 4-5, maybe 5-6 for sure, but avoiding the play-in and being comfortably in and getting a first-round matchup where they like versus, like you said, having to go through the play-in. And the problem with going through the play-in, even if you do and you're the 7 seed right now, you're going to get Oklahoma City, I think, probably wins the conference, but you're going to get Oklahoma City, or you're going to get Dallas, or you're going to get somebody else really good at the top. I think New Orleans is ready for that next step, but that's where coming together as quickly as you can and winning in the regular season matters, because, like I said, the West is 4 through 12 is going to be really tight, and maybe 4 through 13, because that Wembanyama guy in San Antonio is going to win them a few games. He's going to be pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Kurt, the West is razor thin, kind of as you're mentioning here. But and as you mentioned, the Thunder, obviously the favorites, and we saw what they did to the Nuggets on their opener. But Denver's going to be up there at the end of the season. Dallas, as you mentioned, as well. Like, who are some of these teams? Minnesota will probably – I don't even know if they'll take a step back necessarily. I think they'll still be in the conversation. But who are some of the teams that we're not necessarily talking about early on that you expect to be in that conversation in the Western Conference? Kind of the surprise teams.
Don't sleep on Memphis. And I know that the betting markets kind of eventually caught up with this, and there's probably some fans out there listening. Look, this was a team that won 50-plus games 2 years in a row, and then were just decimated by injuries and obviously the jaw suspension last year, but also had, I believe, more games lost to injuries than any other team. They were just, you know, Ja only played 9 games because he had to have shoulder surgery in it. Desmond Bane missed time. Steven Adams missed the entire season. They're asking a lot of Zach Edey, who you mentioned earlier, to kind of step into that Steven Adams role, and he's a big physical guy who's not going to get calls as a rookie, so there's going to be some nights like that. But he's, I think, built for what they want him to do. I watched him at Summer League, and my impression was, first off, dude is a legit 7'4". He's huge, and he just knows how to be 7'4", if you know what I mean. Like, he just knows how to be big and in the way, and kind of is a little more mobile than you think. But all that said, I think that that's a team with Desmond Bane, with everything they've got, and Marcus Smart's there now, that's a threat. That's a top four threat in the West. I think that's somebody you can't sleep on. They're gonna bounce back, and Ja Morant's gonna remind us, as he did frankly in the opener with a couple plays. It's just a walk-in highlight. He's just one of the most fun players to watch in the league.
And Kurt, we'll have you on multiple times throughout the season, I'm sure, as well. But, you know, we're one game in, for some teams, two games in to the 2024-25 regular season. And in the Eastern Conference, I mean, is anybody going to come close to catching Boston? It just feels like it's Boston and then everyone else.
I really hope that by the end of the season, I think New York and Minnesota are both, it's just going to take time to mesh, and I'm not sure. I'd like to think New York got a little better with Towns, but there's a lot of questions there about their defense and depth. Philadelphia is great on paper. Let's see if they can get Paul George and Joel Embiid into a game at the same time. I hope so, because we know Boston's really good, and I just like to see them pushed by, even if it's Cleveland coming together. If Evan Mobley can keep playing like the way he did opening night, you know, they can be very good. If he takes a step forward, I want somebody out there to push them, because they're just going to be really good. And the West is going to be such a gauntlet. And I don't want Boston to be able to kind of waltz to the finals all healthy and coasting and rested, and then play, you know, the survivor of the gladiator games out of the East, out of the West, I mean, and then, you know, have this huge advantage in the finals.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. It's going to be a heck of a season, and you know we're thrilled to have the Pelicans on our air. I don't like so much that already on the 27th we got Portland at 5 o'clock, Saints at 3 o'clock. We don't need to be playing the same days near the same times, but
that's tough.
You know, it's just it is what it is. No. But we're excited as heck to have them on our air and to have you on our air, and we appreciate your time.
I look forward to doing it a lot this year, guys, and I think it's going to be a fun year for Pelican fans. I think that this is. You've got one of my League Pass favorite teams. I just think they're going to be so much fun.
Thanks, Kurt.
Cool. Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBC Sports at Basketball Talk Sports.